Hey everyone, welcome to episode 34 of the Talk on the Rocks podcast. I'm here with my co-host Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Doing good, man.
And we're not here alone. Although we're not together, we are here in spirit with Peter Kyra. Did I get the name right?
Yeah.
That's perfect. And Peter is the head brewer and co-owner of People's Pint in Toronto. Welcome to the podcast, Peter.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
How are you doing on this fine night, this fine Monday night?
Pretty good considering everything.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a tough question now to ask off the top. It's a lot harder than it used to be, that's for sure. But I think it's going to get a lot better when we get to try some of your beers here. So first, maybe just tell us a bit about People's Pint and how you started it, and then we'll try some of these tasty pints right after.
Yeah, I started People's Pint with my partner, Doug. We started as sort of collective of homebrewing community. Wanted to showcase the creativity that homebrewers bring to making beer. And eventually we decided to open a brewery with that spirit in mind. And we opened about 2.5 years ago, and we're still going strong.
That's good to hear. Jack, do you want to crack open a couple pints to start the conversation?
I'd love to. So I'll start off. I got the Alpine Dunkel.
One of my favorites.
You want to tell us a little about each of these beers? We'll start with Jack's first one there.
Yeah, so Alpine Dunkel. Alpine is in reference to a restaurant very close to us in the Junction, friends of ours. And they wanted to... They opened this restaurant, it used to be called the Alps. It's a legendary restaurant in the Junction. Obviously German themed. They developed it after a very long absence of a really great pub there. And they wanted some German style beers. So Dunkel Lager is as German as it gets. It's very malty. Very malt forward and very refreshing beer. It's a lager, so it's really smooth. And but it gives you a big pack of malty flavors like chocolate, coffee, but pretty subdued and really pretty, you know, easy drinking.
You're having a dessert for the appetizer.
Yeah.
No, it's really smooth though. No, it's very flavorful too. No, it's really good.
You're going to have to lead us on this journey, Peter. When I first met with you, I told you we're no beer experts, but we definitely love to drink it. So just cool to hear kind of what we're putting in our mouths before we crack it open.
For sure. And when I say malty, you know, what I'm talking about is you're tasting a lot of what the grain, like the sort of heart of beer. And, you know, a lot of beers focus on hops. A lot of people don't really talk about the malt, and the malt is, you know, it's usually barley, sometimes wheat, but pretty predominantly barley. And the way that they treat this barley affects how you can use it. Some are toasted very gently. Some are roasted, and that's how you get stout, things like that. This is a little bit in between. This is a dark beer, but if you hold it up to the light, you know, it looks kind of copper. You know, it's not like a stout that is like really black. And so like it gives you like this raisiny, toasty, nutty sort of flavor that you don't get with just like a regular lager. So I think that makes it a little bit more interesting than your run-of-the-mill beer, but it's still, for you know, pretty refreshing.
Sure. And what about the Goldie Boat, English Golden Ale?
So Goldie Boat, it's basically a beer that anybody can enjoy. It's got a little bit more flavor. It's not a lager, it's an ale. So it's not quite as smooth as what the Dunkel would have been. But this one, you know, it's got some English character. It's got some malt character as well, and a little bit of hop character as well, coming from a pretty generous dose of hops. It's not dry hopped, so you're not going to get this big you know, hop aroma or flavor to it. But it's what we would call a very balanced beer. Easy to drink as well.
So whereas Jack's was kind of a German inspired, when you say it's an English golden ale, that's like it, like yeah. drinking in England, I guess, would be like something you'd find there.
Yeah. So in England, brewing is very, a lot more simple than German beers.
Yeah.
German beers are very technical and very scientific. English beers, you know, there were laws to, you know, stop people from putting, you know, like turpentine into beer and at some point in the history of English beer. I don't want to diminish the tradition of English beers because they're excellent. English styles are very, very balanced, very easy drinking. Almost every English style is something that you can really, you know, drink a lot of. That's
put down. Put down.
Yeah, that's where the term. I don't know if you've heard, you know, a session beer.
Yes.
You know, that comes directly from England. That's like,
okay.
You know, it's lunchtime and we can't get drunk, so we're gonna have a bunch of, you know, 3 or 4% beer. That's the way they do it there.
I do remember my first night in England. I went there and it was lunchtime. And of course we were like, oh, let's go out for fish and chips. And we sat there and there's at least 2 or 3 or 4 tables at lunchtime of people in suits who were just having 2 or 3 pints though at lunch. So
yeah.
I do agree with you there. I believe you. So I can agree with that one. So have you, I know just off the first two beers, they're both inspired by obviously different countries. Have you done a lot of traveling before to experience these beers, or do you just do a lot of research with them?
In particular with these, you know, I've never been to Germany or England actually.
Okay.
I've been to more sunny destinations.
I can't blame you being from Canada.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously like, I'd love to go, and I plan to for sure. And Belgium as well.
Yes.
That's a very big, brewing tradition. So, you know, I've drank a lot of examples of imported versions of these. And they're celebrated, of course. They're made in America and, you know, Canada. They're made here. That's the basis of what you could call anything, any style that is indigenous to North America. It all came from Germany or England, basically. They came here to, you know, to live, and to live they needed beer because they couldn't necessarily trust water sources that they had. And, you know, basically until the modern era, you know, beer was water.
It hasn't changed. Some people at least.
So that's where that comes from. I've always wanted to showcase the more simplistic and traditional stuff, and that's part of what we do at People's Pint is sort of show you what beauty you can find in a very simple style instead of something that really hits you over the face. But we do that too.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah.
I think that's good though, because like even myself as the like not an avid craft beer drinker. And if I was to have something like that, I would definitely be coming back in because I could kind of get that punch in the face and then I could have something to slow her down after. So that's really nice. Go ahead.
That's part of what we do too, is we want something for everyone. We don't, if you walk in the door and you are looking for something really out there, we might not satisfy it on a particular day, but someday we might.
Yeah.
But if you're coming in looking for a beer, for a different beer experience, we have all kinds of styles, and that's part of our motto is beer for the people by the people. And you know, we just want everybody to feel comfortable.
I think in talking to you when we first met a couple of weeks ago, you said that was a big basis of your brand. Do you kind of want to speak on that brand a bit more and what your guys' thoughts were? I know it was very event-based when you first started. Obviously, yeah. With COVID, you can't really do that. But how have you guys tried to keep that community atmosphere going at your brewery during these crazy times?
Yeah. I mean, I've discovered that I think our strength is really quality and reliability. And we've noticed that people buy a lot of a certain brand that they, you know, really appreciate. And they do it on a regular basis. And that shows me that that's really the thing that we should keep focusing on is providing quality and consistency. You know, making something different is great for both sides too. You know, people are looking for something different. It's fun for us to make something different as well. So it all comes together. You know, when we focus on what we see and what we hear from people.
For sure. Jack, would you like to try a different one of these beers?
Yeah, sure. The Mango Fett.
Quite a creative name.
I love the name.
Mango Fett. So this beer has very big notes of mango. There's no mango in it. Obviously, I play on Jango Fett. My partner, Doug, is a big Star Wars fan. And this started as a full-on milkshake IPA. Milkshake IPA, for those who don't know, is basically a New England style IPA, which is a low bitter, hazy, fruity IPA. Juicy, they would call it as well. They add lactose to it for the milk part, lactose sugar. So it's like milk sugar and usually fruit. And so the original version did have mango. We liked it without the mango a little better, and it's a little more economical to produce.
Yeah, I can imagine. Fruit.
There's still a lot of hop presence in there. There's a lot of mango sort of aroma. The lactose is there. Another thing that milkshake IPA usually has is vanilla as well to make it taste like a milkshake. We don't put the vanilla in. I find it really like sort of conflicts with the hop character. So this is like, you know, we call it just a New England IPA with lactose. The lactose gives it a big body presence, and it combats a little bit of the bitterness too. So it makes it a lot smoother and a lot fruitier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. For a 6, I saw a 6%, and it's very smooth. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a high percentage. It's very good.
I'm glad you like it.
And then,
I'm glad you made it.
And I have the Time Lord IPA coming in at 7%. So we're
cranking
up a bit here.
Yeah. So Time Lord, probably my favorite of all of the beers that I make. That is basically a riff on a very old beer. I guess really not in the grand scheme of things the way we've been talking tonight. it's been around for about 30 years. It's called Bell's Two Hearted. It's made in Michigan. Okay. By a company called Bell's. It's called Two Hearted. I've made sort of homages to this, to that beer. This is basically made, it's made with English malt and American hops. The hops are Centennial. It's one kind of hop. It's a bunch of different little malts, but mostly English Maris Otter malt. And so it's what we call a traditional West Coast IPA. Bitter, piney, you know, grapefruit notes. It's what IPA used to be when IPA first became a big thing.
Yeah.
The West Coast IPA. IPA has gone through a very big journey since then, you know, and we're talking about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. This would have been the big thing at any bar. If you had something like Bell's Two Hearted, you were really happy that you were in a bar that was yeah. pouring this beer. if that's what you liked, but yeah, that's my homage to it. I love it. It's got malt character. It's got hop character. It's big. It's bitter. IPA was when it was big.
You saying big, and this, like, when I first was looking at the first two beers. So my first one, the Goldie Boat, is in a can, and then this People's Pint is in a bigger bottle, like the bottle. I was just curious the reasoning behind
yeah.
why you can certain beers, why you bottle certain beers, why I can hardly fit this one in my hand, this one yeah. I'm having now.
Yeah, these bottles are huge. It's like a wine bottle almost. It's nice. I wish they were all like this.
They're 500 mils, those bottles.
Okay.
The cans are a little smaller, 473.
Oh, so it's almost an illusion then that they're larger.
Almost, yeah, yeah. The can that Jack had, though, is mm-hmm. a 12-ounce can. That's like a little bottle of beer, right? The bottles of beer that you get at the beer store, right? Mm-hmm. Originally we wanted to bottle everything that was English or German, and then anything American, we were going to can. And so we started that way. And we noticed that, some people didn't buy cans and some people didn't buy bottles. To this day, people come and they say, what do you have in cans? And that's all they'll buy. They won't buy anything that's in bottles. Some people come by and all they buy is what is in bottles. So it's really a strange perception thing, I think. I think older people are prone to thinking that cans are suspect.
Yeah.
While cans are really the better packaging option.
I don't really see I haven't seen my grandpa drink out of a can. I don't know in my life unless he had to.
It's a little cheaper.
Yeah, my parents are all bottle only.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's a false sort of idea that bottles are so much better. They do cost more to produce, and that's why we charge more for bottles.
Yeah. There's less real estate to work on, though, isn't there, with a bottle?
All our own bottles. Nope. We have to pay somebody to come in and do our canning, but we're a tiny brewery, right? So if we had our own canning line, it would be a lot. Basically everything would be in cans, except barrel age beers or, really nerdy sort of beers. Right. but basically everything would be in cans. I'm pretty sure, we would disappoint a couple of diehards, but we'd probably sell a lot more beer.
Well, you think about it, even just for like the casual beer drinker, for the convenience factor, depending if you're going somewhere, it's a little harder to bring bottles. If you're outside near a pool, you don't want to be dropping a beer bottle in the pool. So I can kind of see it from that perspective as well. It's a little easier 100%. To transport the cans. So
I myself if I'm somewhere, I'm like, hey, what's in cans? I'll take the stuff that's in cans. If it's in bottles, I'm thinking, okay, it might be like a one-off or something that they, a smaller batch, or maybe it's something special. So I might take a look, but if I'm going to buy something in volume, it's in cans for sure. I mean, I get it.
I'm just curious what the process is like. Like, for example, this one's called Time Lord IPA. Like, do you guys all sit down and you're sitting there like, what are we going to call it? Let's look at what this tastes like, what we put in it. And now we're going to come up with a name, come up with the brand. I'm really interested in that with kind of my school background. I'm curious how you guys do it there. I know you're the brewer. And when we sat down earlier, you mentioned that there's a bunch of different parties in play to make that decision, but I'm curious about that process.
It really depends on the beer. in the case of Time Lord, you know, we knew that it was an homage to another beer that had a specific name. And we thought, you know, what do we call this? And my partner said, oh, well, Time Lords. And that's something from Doctor Who, if you've ever heard of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Another TV show.
Okay. I was wondering if that had a play on it.
Well, Time Lords have two hearts. So that's why we called it. Again, the original beer was two-hearted ale. So we thought, oh, Time Lord, that's a great, homage to it. So that's one example. I've been in a few bands in my day. I play drums.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Do you have your set behind you? You can give us a bit of a riff.
They're downstairs, actually.
maybe later.
You get a band together and it's like time to name the band, right? That's one of the hardest things in the world. Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion about it, yeah. You know? So some beers, it's like, okay, here's this beer. And everybody's sort of like, okay, maybe this, maybe that. And nobody can agree on the name. And it's like, it reminds me of, you know, trying to name a band. It's like, what the hell do you call this beer? And that's when you end up, I think, with like some of the worst names.
Because when you think it, you're stuck with it almost.
Well, it's like this like maybe compromise or combination of a bunch of ideas, and like it's just like, no, it doesn't make any sense.
You got to have a couple of the beers to get the creative juices flowing as well, which sometimes helps or doesn't help.
It might, but maybe not. I don't know. When, you know, like it really depends on the beer for sure.
I know you said the Time Lord was one of your favorites. Do you have any other beers that you want to call out as you're really proud of brewing yourself?
I'm drinking this beer right now. It's
we should introduce you to what your beer you're having. We didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I'm drinking an Italian Pilsner. This came out after you visited. This is a beer called Settebello. This is the Settebello. It's like an Italian card. It's the Seven of Diamonds, basically.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
It's just a memory from my childhood, which is great. And I wanted to honor my mom and dad.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So I brewed this in honor of them.
Nice. And you have an Italian background then?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a dry hop Pilsner. Has some beautiful floral character to it, and put it in cans.
Nice. Jack, should we open up? Should we clean off our palates and open up our last beer here?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Which one are you having here?
This is the one I'm excited to have. I hope I pronounce this right. The Gose Cuervo.
Yes, Gose Cuervo. So that's nice. Another pun. That's another pun. So you asked about names. They're mostly stupid puns. And this one's a good one, I think.
I like it.
So Goza is spelled G-O-S-E. You know, like goes. Pronounced Goza in German. It's a sour German beer. It's a wheat beer. That comes from Leipzig and Germany. Very sour, and they also added coriander and salt to the boil. We did a play on that, with a sour beer, you got a lot of sort of citrus notes to it. So we thought, let's add some tequila and lime and make it like a margarita.
Nice.
And so that's the pun, Gose Cuervo. It's like Jose Cuervo tequila. We don't use that kind of tequila in it, though.
Oh, these are great. Oh, I can drink this all day.
Is that common to add salt to beer?
Well, okay, so yes, it is. Not necessarily salt, like table salt.
Yeah.
although that is the case with Goza. but brewers add... basically pickling salt and gypsum to beer or to the water that we make beer with, just and in really, really small amounts to sort of influence the emphasis on hop crispiness or very soft mouthfeel. It can really change a beer, how you treat the water.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me something, one of our, a previous guest we had on was called Rimmit. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the company, but they are a rim you can put on your cans, and you can put a salt rim on that, or made Caesars, you can put a rim around that. Seems like it would kind of go nicely with that, with the kind of margarita feel. So it's kind of interesting how you can see,
you know, that might be good with a, yeah, that might be good with a Jose Cuervo. I'm not sure. And might be a little salty,
a little too much.
Well, Jose Cuervo, I mean, it's sour and it's sweet. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely sour. It's, yeah, I know. It's really good, though. No, I've never had, like, a beer that's sour before, I don't think. Like, or this kind of – it really does taste like a margarita. It's crazy. It's delicious.
Great.
And then I've got the Serendipitous Sour here. It says it's with raspberry and coconut, coming in at 4.9%.
Yeah, so Serendipitous is a series that we do. Each year we do a sour beer, much like Jose Cuervo, but we add fruit or some other kind of flavorings. In this case, it's raspberry and coconut.
I really like that, yeah.
An odd combination.
Yeah, I was just reading on the bottle there. I was distracted. You guys said it was not exactly what you were looking for when you made it originally.
Yeah.
But it ended up working out clearly because it's a really, really nice beer.
Yeah, so we made it a series of fruited sours.
Yeah, it's almost got a bit of a kickback on the fruity side. It's almost, I can't even explain the flavor, but almost like a woodier flavor at the end too. It's quite nice. I like it.
That might be the coconut.
Yeah, I think so.
Some people have said that they taste ketchup.
Is this, that's funny because you said that when we talked before, and I kind of can see it. It's not the flavor that hopped out. I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to put this on my fries or anything. But now that you mention it, it kind of comes up to me that I could see that flavor.
Let me tell you, everybody tastes beer, tastes everything differently. Some people are very sensitive to some aromatic compounds, and some people aren't. You know, there are what we call off flavors in beer. Things like a really strong buttery sort of flavor and smell, or a really strong corn smell. Those are diacetyl and DMS. Some people don't taste them at all. Some people are like, you know, very little amounts and they taste it. And it's the same with, you know, what I would call good aromatics, good things, you know, fruity things or you know, what we would consider, you know, appreciable things. And like I said, some people taste ketchup in that. It's because there's a combination of flavors that are happening that are firing things that they associate with ketchup.
Yeah,
you know, I just taste a ketchup.
Hey, it's not a bad flavor. It's very Canadian.
Get some chips with that.
Yeah, I know. We have a couple other little rapid fire questions. I'm not sure if you want to answer a couple of those quick, sure. And then we'll enjoy a few more of your beers, and then we'd like to hear later on a bit more about. Kind of throw it off to you at the end to hear more about the brewery and kind of how we can get some of these beers, because I'm sure you're really selling them on the podcast here, so people will want to go and try them. So has there ever been a moment, a kind of aha moment, a kind of oh my God, we made it moment, someone came into your brewer, somebody ordered your beer, there was a certain event, what was kind of your aha moment for your brewer?
Yeah, you know, I was out one night, a night off, which was great. My wife and I were going to a concert with a bunch of friends. We were out for steak dinner before the concert, and I got a text from our taproom manager at the time, and he said, Mike Lackey is at the bar and he wants to know how you made this beer. So Mike Lackey was the brewer at Great Lakes Brewery.
Okay.
In Etobicoke. And they're a big deal. So yeah, I was like, wow, Mike Lackey's in my brewery tasting my beer and wants to know how I made it. Like, that's really great.
So did you leave the concert or?
No.
Let me get over there.
No. You know, the temptation was there for sure. But no.
So are you a big music buff then? You attend a lot of concerts. I know you said you're in a band.
Yeah. Yeah. I love music.
It's, are you into rock or?
Oh, just everything, man. Yeah. I mean,
that's good.
Yeah. Mostly rock, but I love jazz, love funk. You know, anything that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite concert you've been to live?
Oh, man.
Too many to think of.
Yeah. I couldn't answer that.
Yeah. Probably that night after you heard the brewer was at your brewery, so that was, you were on the moon anyways. Could have been me up there on stage and you probably still would have loved it.
It probably would have, you know, I don't know. Probably one of the many Ween concerts that I've been to. Ween is one of my favorite bands.
Nice. That's cool. I don't know. We've tried all your beers here. We're really happy with them. They're all delicious. And this is, like I said, this is the point where we kind of want to throw it off to you. Any last remarks, anything you want to say about your brewery? And then, of course, how we can get some of these beers in our hands.
Yeah, come to the Junction. We're near Keele and St. Clair, 90 Cawthra Avenue.
Okay.
It's a thriving little community. It's really unique. A lot of people compare it to Geary Avenue, where Blood Brothers is a while ago. Yeah, it's industrial, but there's new businesses coming up in the area. There's also a really interesting yard across the way. A bunch of shipping containers, people doing interesting things. There's a distillery right next door at Nickel 9. They make vodka and gin. I think they're releasing some Applejack very soon.
They are. They're actually, funny enough, our last episode of our podcast. So we're staying close to 90 Cawthra. Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. They're great guys. They're awesome neighbors to have.
Yeah.
Come out to the Junction. You can buy online at peoplespint.com. We do delivery twice a week in the greater Toronto area, M series postal codes. I think our website says no M1, but you know, if you order an M1, we'll probably deliver to you.
Depends how much.
There is a minimum of $40, $40 before tax for the free delivery. That's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we're open 7 days a week until 8 on the weekdays and until 9 on Saturday. And I think it's 5 on Sunday.
Okay.
We're still not sure about Thanksgiving, if this comes out before Thanksgiving.
But hopefully it'll come out pretty soon. Yep.
Yeah.
Soon, but we're, you know, look at our social media for when we're going to be open.
That's awesome. Jack, do you have any final remarks?
No, just thank you so much for coming on and providing us with these great beers. I'm loving them.
Yeah, they're going down quickly. They're so delicious.
Right on.
All right, Peter. I'd like to thank you a lot for coming on as well. Thank you for providing us with the beers. And everyone, thanks for listening. And definitely check out the website that Peter said, because these are some great beers. And we definitely want to support local during times like these. So thanks to everyone for listening. And we'll check it out next time. Peace.
Right on. Thanks for having me, guys.
So that was a great interview with Peter Kyra. We tried some awesome People's Pints. And we're actually going to finish them off now and continue the interview for a few more minutes. Maybe talk about our weekly pick'ems, Jack. How are you feeling about this week? And how are you feeling about last week? I'm on a bit of a heater, won't lie.
You handpicked them, man. These were handpicked for you to win.
Hey.
I would win too, man.
We're open. We're always open to, for any suggestions with the questions. I send you a text every Sunday. After that whooping last week, though, we'll put it on the record. Who picked every single question this week?
Not every single. Well, I mean, these are very even.
These are skill testing questions. All sports.
These ones are. This new week is. Last week, let's be on the record. It was picked for you.
Get me back. Come on, Jack. Hey, come on. All I'm hearing is excuses, excuses, excuses.
It's not an excuse. It's just I would probably sweep too if I had my hand in picking the one show, all the shows that I watch.
Such as?
You watch Love Island.
I've watched 3 or 4 episodes.
That gives you the edge.
Yep. Also, I worked with my sources, sister, family watch it. Wouldn't you do that? It's not fair.
If we're doing Bachelors in Paradise, then I would have the household advantage.
Yes, very true.
My dad's seen every episode.
Well, you should have picked that question this week.
I don't think it's on.
So,
whatever. Yeah. No, I don't care at all. It's funny. I'm about to make the ultimate prediction.
What's that?
I picked the finals.
You did, yeah. I'm going to have to order that Lakers jersey pretty soon. Jimmy Butler doesn't think so, though. He said these guys should be worried. What was he yelling? Something.
They're in trouble. Yeah, whatever. I didn't hear him. They're too busy being down.
Pretty funny because we locked in our picks and we both
said we should have waited.
Only going to go to 4-0 and then the game ended. But
we totally should have waited.
We should have waited, but I don't know. We both, our opinions were both that it was going to go 4-0. So we don't really deserve the point if it didn't.
So we're different on tonight's. You have the Falcons, I have the Packers.
Yeah. I think you got the heavy overdog. Is that a word?
Well, they're two got the underdog. Receivers are out for the Packers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fair. That's why I picked this game most. I didn't want to pick Bears or Chiefs Bucks. Or Chiefs-Pats, sorry.
Chiefs-Pats, yeah.
I didn't want to pick that one because I feel like that one's too – we both would have picked the Chiefs.
All the wide receivers.
This one could have gone either way.
Because I have both. I have Julio Jones and Devontae Adams. Devontae's out. Julio and Ridley are back in for the Falcons. But I'm curious about the workload. Apparently, Julio's played through injuries forever, so I don't know.
So I add to the theme of this week for being fair for both of us.
Yep.
Since I am nice.
Yes.
And but I feel bad because you're going to have to order the jersey.
That's okay. It's definitely not going to be legitimate.
Which is the ultimate pick. No one was picking the Lakers, just me.
Yeah, geez, you really went.
If you go on ESPN, hey, man, 90% of ESPN picked the Clippers.
Yeah. Just saying. Hey, I probably would have picked them too.
I wouldn't, and I didn't. But yeah, no, congrats on your 4-0.
5-0, actually.
5-0. Yep. Even worse. I don't – whatever. We'll get into this later. sheesh. Do you want to run down the picks here?
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about Falcons-Packers, but why'd you pick Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Because I like Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know who the fuck the Falcons are going to have. Except the quarterback.
Yeah. Well, hey, they got pretty good players now, actually. I've heard that they don't have any good coaching. Yeah, but you got to win eventually. Well, I guess you don't. Depends what team you are, but
you don't have to.
They've got a lot of talent. I think I just have this gut feeling. Like I had a feeling you were going to pick Packers, but I told myself for now on for sports picks, I'm not changing it based on what you say. Like on the Pez podcast, we'd had a couple of cocktails and you'd say something and I'd be like, I'm pretty sure right on the podcast, I was like, oh, I was going to pick Packers and then I changed it to the Saints to make it interesting. Not going to do that anymore. So I'm like, I'm going Falcons. You took the Packers. I don't know. I just have this gut feeling. Starts at 9 p.m. tonight. A little late for a game, but a bit of a nightcap when we finish.
I could see it going easily either way.
Yeah.
This week is actually really hard to pick.
What is the spread on that game? I feel like it's got to rely be pretty heavy into the Packers' favor, though.
I would imagine, since just based off record alone, I don't know if they count the injuries in. I think the injuries kind of make it kind of more of a toss-up. That's what I was kind of thinking.
What do you think it is? I've got it here. So.
Oh, I don't know how did they do it.
It's like, 5.5. It's 5.5.
It's yeah, I don't know. Fucking.
The packs are in favor, but we'll see how that goes. 3-0 versus the 0-3 seed.
The 0-3.
I don't know. One of the best wide receivers in the game, veteran quarterback. You never know how that will go. Tuesday, Heat Lakers. It's a bit weird betting on these games. I don't know. I feel like we both just think the Lakers are going to win all of the games, but we got to include it. It's the NBA Finals, so we both bet Lakers. Any comment? I would bet. I'm not a sports bettor, but I would bet money that LeBron's not going to lose this game three. He's not going to lose two straight.
Well, he already lost.
Never know. Oh, sorry, game. He's not going to lose the third. Like, they're going to get.
He's not going to lose game four. Yeah. He's not going to. He's not going to let them take it back. Because if they go 2-2, I think it'll go 7.
But that's the thing. Remember the Raptors series? What was it, four years ago? Cavs 1-2, Raps 1-2, and then it was over from there. But
yeah,
still.
But they didn't have AD.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would bet I am picking the Lakers for this one. I think they go up. I think they win in 5. I think they just do it. That's what they've done the whole playoffs now. They've kept doing it in 5. But I think even if it goes to 7 and they completely just dominate for the next 3 and the Lakers just push it to 7, I think they still win the 7, the Lakers.
I mean, if we were betting money and we were getting the Excel sheets out and getting sweaty, when's the last time that somebody swept in the finals? Like, why did we both say that there'd be no game?
Sweep in the finals. I think Golden State did to the Cavs. LeBron got swept in the finals.
How often does that happen, though?
Not that often. I guess when you have the Warriors. I want to say Kobe did it.
Apparently, last two final sweeps came against LeBron.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So in 07 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Quite interesting, actually.
So pretty common in the last 2 years.
No, the last two. So it's happened in 07 and 2018 were the last two. So there's only been
17.
Well, I assume it was the Cavs. When did LeBron come into the league?
LeBron didn't win in 07.
No, he was who was swept. He was swept both those times. And he didn't do the sweeping.
Oh, I thought he got. Oh, did he sweep before? Oh, I didn't know. I can see
that. So, according to this article, since the 1950 season, there's only been 8 championship series sweeps. So, that's more than I thought. 20%.
That's more than I thought.
1 in 5. A little more than that. Maybe
18%. Especially with this team, especially, and considering the Heat. But I don't know. I love Jimmy, though. I don't count that guy out. He's just – he was on fire. But the thing is, he has to play like that every game now. And I don't think he's going to be able to keep that up.
Actually, caveat, this article came in 2018. Then LeBron got swept in 2018. So I think it's 9. But still, that's still not that many.
They shouldn't even have fucking played those games, man. That was just unfair.
07. Spurs swept the Cavs.
Oh, yes.
Lakers did some sweeping.
I knew Kobe did.
Yep, interesting. I didn't even think about that. I just kind of just didn't think LeBron would lose, so I made that pick.
I agree as
well. We've kind of already talked about the next pick, which we both already know is wrong, which is our Friday night pick of having no game because we thought there was going to be a sweep. So we can kind of breeze past that one.
You can see where we are maybe on Thursday, and if it's completely one-sided, maybe we'll throw like a pick. Maybe if I'm up 3-0 or something, or if you're up 3-0, we could maybe see where we're at on Friday. But for right now, I think we'll just keep it no game.
I mean, you're obviously going to pick the Lakers, and I'm not going to pick the Lakers. So
well, it
I don't
depends
think
where they are, man.
Yeah, you never know.
That's what I'm saying. We can wait. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, let's not throw it out now.
Let's circle back to it.
We'll circle back.
What about I wrote Sunday on the graphic here. I guess it's technically like Saturday
it's
night.
Technically Saturday.
Early Sunday, right? Because it comes off on after midnight.
It's a fight night, so it'll be on around like latest like 10.
Okay. Well, anyways, tell us about this fight because you are you're the expert on this stuff. Definitely not me.
I wouldn't say I'm the expert on this. This is just like this is also just a pretty. I think Sanhagen. Moraes, they're 135ers, former title champ contenders. They're just basically fighting in a not a number one contender, but probably a very close to it, one fight away from the title probably. And so this is a, I think Sandhagen is a slight favorite. We both picked them, so it doesn't really matter. But I could easily see this going either way. This is another one I struggled to pick as well. Fortunately, yeah, you picked the same one as me, so I guess it doesn't really matter. But
works out for me. I know. I, like we said, though, we're locking in our picks. I think we need to figure this out where we send it at the exact same time or something. But personally, I'm not changing my picks.
Yeah, I don't think you are either. So I'm comfortable sending them first. Like, yeah. I don't really care.
Exactly.
We didn't talk about Bears.
I think, honestly, getting it worse, changing it based on someone and losing is the worst. So you just have to pick your initial, because the amount of regret I know from the first 2 weeks of changing it last minute is just, I can't do it again. But yeah, Bears Bucks. I don't, Tom threw 5 touchdowns last week. I can't see him losing to the Lonely Bears.
The Lonely Bears. Whoever's I got in, the Bears. In,
Big Dick Nick, if it's Mitch Trubisky. I really don't think it matters who they lose to last week. Sad effort, whoever it was.
Why'd I think they bounce back. I think they beat the – I don't know. This was also just – I don't – a toss-up. I didn't really put too much thought in this. I went with the Bears. I don't know why now. But now maybe I'll look like a genius, so who knows? Lost Bears are just a weird team that I could just see winning.
I don't know why. You know what? I just like calling them the Lonely Bears. Like, they're 3-1.
I like the Bears. Jack.
Like, they...
Are they? Nice.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Good for the Bears.
You totally knew that, right, when you made that pick?
I just thought they were decent. I don't know. I heard from last season they just didn't have a quarterback, but their defense was good.
Well, Nick Foles stepped in. I mean, they beat the Lions, the Giants, and the Falcons. So it's a couple...
That's good.
Falcons are a good team, I would say, even though they don't have a good record. Lions are... What? Good quarterbacks, some good players. Giants are shit. So that's like an auto win, and they only beat them by 4. And fun fact, in all of their first 3 wins, they won each game by 4 points. Looking at the stats right now, didn't write that down before, but that's an interesting stat. I'd be curious how often that happens, that you win your first 3 games by the exact same amount of points. But, and then they lost by 8 points after. So you've got the Bears. I have the Bucks.
Tom.
Confident in that one. Would bet money touchdown on it if Tom. I did.
Yeah, I didn't really. Oh, okay, Tom Brady is having a decent season.
Of course he is. It's Tom Brady.
4 interceptions. I don't like that. But
anything else happening this week outside the picks?
Do you have anything? I can't think right now.
Oh, not too much. Thanksgiving's coming up. I think it's going to be a pretty low-key Thanksgiving for myself. Enjoy a turkey
and with everyone in the nation.
Family. Yeah, well, you'd like to hope so. But still get a turkey cooked at my hometown. Might go out for a round of Thanksgiving golf, depending on weather. Get some golf in. We don't have many rounds left, so I'll probably do that. And I'm going to have my turkey on Sunday. Not much to talk about in regards to Thanksgiving. I attended a socially distant wedding. A bit of an...
Oh, yeah, how was that?
You got married? No, not me, my aunt. It was a pretty small event, obviously, outside. So it's not necessarily a wedding that you'd see on 4 weddings on TLC, but it was really nice because we could all go outside space, and then they walked down the aisle. Everything was good. The register, I can't remember what you call it. I don't want to say like a
minister.
Really like a priest. It wasn't really a minister.
The minister. The yeah, register?
No, but it's not really, it wasn't like it was a quick wedding, right? Because of like all COVID and everything. So they kind of,
it was just someone who was
did like the mandatory things that you need to do to get wedding, because they only had a certain amount of time you can have an event. So yeah.
So they just got someone who ordained themselves online.
No, she seemed very professional. Like she'd been around the block for sure, but yeah, I don't know. It was, she just got in there, got the job done, and then...
I mean, realistically, you just ask them to kiss while you hold the Bible and don't read from it.
Yeah, it was good, though. Like, I didn't know how... it's funny because I haven't been to a wedding in, like, I don't know, almost 10 years now. I don't have a lot of weddings in my family, so one of my first weddings that... You know, like, when you're younger, you don't remember it as much, but now, the wedding in my... bank of memory right now is this COVID wedding where like we just stood in like a park and there were people so far away from each other, but it was pretty good for the circumstances and it all came together and it followed the guidelines and they got a permit and everything. So it was a bit of a weird experience, but it all worked out in the end and it proves that people can still get married. So
they kiss with and without the face mask.
Well, they are thankfully still in a bubble because they are getting married. So they could kiss without the face mask.
Did someone say you?
Yeah, me. Got it right.
Me.
It's funny. I was the cameraman. So I was, well, Aunt Julie's going to be listening to this and she probably heard me snapping all these photos during, during the wedding, but I'd never taken a photo in my life. Maria just gave me her camera. So I was snapping all these photos, trying to get her coming down the aisle and everything. And then going up with her soon to be husband and all that. And then right when we were getting time for like the most important photos, it just goes click. And it like the battery ran out right before the most. So I got all these photos of like the beginning part and the setup and stuff, but I missed the photos on the actual part of the wedding, but whatever. Nice. It all worked out in the end. So that's my excitement. Thanksgiving coming up, had a wedding. Then we went for a small round of golf before made the groom. He went with, we actually followed the groom. I just went with my dad behind and the groom went ahead with his son. So we made him wear like a big colorful wig and I made like a shirt for him and stuff. So we had a good time. Slowed down the golf course and it was like minus 20 degrees. It felt like outside, but it was okay. A couple beers on the rocks warmed us up. So we were good.
Nice.
All right. You want to cut it off there on our People's Pint podcast?
We can.
Yeah. So we'd like to thank Peter again for coming on. He told some cool stories and really got into detail about the beers. Jack and I aren't extremely knowledgeable about all these beers, so it's nice to have someone kind of come on here and talk us through and explain to us in layman's terms about each of these beers. So thanks to Peter and thanks again to People's Pint for giving us these beers. It was an awesome podcast, and everyone, thanks for listening. Take it easy. Peace.